Luke 24, starting at verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back, saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Let's bring his word before him now as we ask him for a blessing on it. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, this privilege to come to your word this morning. Help us to come to your word with expectant hearts, wanting to learn, wanting to know, wanting to see Jesus Christ. Open our hearts, open our minds, give us wisdom this morning, work in us through your Holy Spirit, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a few years ago, our family had the privilege of being invited to another family's parents for Christmas dinner. And this dinner was absolutely amazing. This family was an Italian family, and Italians know their food. We began with some soup. We had a wonderful seafood pasta. And as we were having the seafood pasta, my friend leaned over to me and said, "Don't eat too much because there is so much more coming. At least another 2 courses and then a wonderful dessert." It was a wonderful feast that we had that evening. But it wasn't just the feast that stood out to us. You see, this family was Italian. And I don't know if you've ever met a true Italian family, but they were passionate. The way they talked, the way they kidded each other, the way that they laughed, it was all full of passion. You could even see it and taste it in the food. They lived from their hearts, and it was wonderful to see. Well, this morning, as we look at our passage, we also see passion. We see our two disciples beginning with sadness. But as our Lord leaves them, their hearts are burning with what he has told them. Jesus meets these two disciples in their hour of need. He literally meets them. And today we're going to see and be reminded of the heart of our Savior as he encouraged these two disciples as they met him. We're going to see the passion that he left these men with. Our theme this morning is that Christ's revelation sets hearts on fire. It's up there on the screen for you. Christ's revelation sets hearts on fire. And the first thing we're going to see is that Christ comes alongside us. Our text introduces us to two people, two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And if you may have been like me, I've always assumed that these were two men on the way to Emmaus. But as you read the passage, it doesn't actually say that they were men. It just says two of them. There's a story told that we're introduced to one of the people there, Cleopas. The story is told that Mary, a woman by the name of Mary, who was Cleopas' wife, was walking with him. Now, we don't know if that's the fact, but just a little check for our own stereotypes. These two disciples, whoever they were, one of them being Cleopas, were on their way home to Emmaus. A journey of about 11 kilometres, about 4 hours slow walk. And they were walking slowly. They were talking with each other. Our text tells us they were talking and discussing all the things that had happened in Jerusalem. That emotionally charged Passion Week as Jesus went to his death. Trying to make sense of what exactly had just happened. Jesus starts walking along with them, we're told. He joins the two of them. And he just listens as they're talking together. And after a while, he asks a question. What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And verse 16 tells us that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. They didn't recognize who Jesus was. Jesus says, "What are you talking about?" And Cleopas answers Jesus and says, "Have you been living under a rock?" Okay, that's not quite what it says, but that's the sentiment that's behind us here. How can you have been in Jerusalem and have no idea of what's just been happening? He walks Jesus through what they were talking about. How Jesus, a prophet mighty in word and deed, verse 19, before God and all the people, how he was delivered up to be crucified, condemned to death. And they had hoped that he was the one to save Israel. They don't make the connection. Who it is that's with them. And they even say, he even says there at the end of verse 21, "It is now the third day since these things happened." Perhaps indicating that they had a hope that something would happen, but nothing had happened yet. And in fact, that's why these two disciples are on their way home, because they've given up. Jesus has died. They've seen and heard some evidence about some woman who have had a vision from an angel, but they put that to the side. They don't believe. They don't understand. We see their emotion as they look at Jesus in verse 17. They stood still, looking sad. Now, Jesus could have revealed himself at this moment in time straight away to them. He could have just said, "Look, it's me. I've risen from the grave." But he didn't do that. And the reason he didn't do that is significant. And we're going to spend just a little time now looking at why. You see, if Jesus had simply revealed himself to those two disciples then, they wouldn't have had to think. They wouldn't have had to understand and think through why Jesus had to die, why he had to hang on that cross. they wouldn't have got it. They would have continued to miss the point. So Jesus comes to these two disciples and helps them exactly where they needed to be helped. He comes to them in their need, helping them to think through, to work through the events that have taken place and why they needed to happen. Why Jesus had to suffer. Why he had to die. Why he had to rise again from the grave. And so it is with us, brothers and sisters. Jesus meets us in our needs. He knows exactly what our struggles are. He knows exactly what we're going through, and he meets us in our needs. Now, he doesn't walk alongside us in the same physical way that he did for the two disciples, but he does promise in his word that he will be with us. He is with us through his Holy Spirit, and he knows what we are going through. He knows what we need. He knows what we can handle. And he knows when we need encouragement. He knows our trials, our sicknesses, our pain, our suffering. He knows our grief. And he uses those to help us grow, to increase our dependence on him, to chisel away the things that need to be chiseled from our lives. The master craftsman steadily, slowly chipping away at us, turning us into a beautiful, magnificent sculptor ready for glory. He knows what we're going through. He promises that he will walk with us through his Holy Spirit. Jesus met these two disciples on the road to help them to process, to consider why these things have happened. And then he takes the conversation in his own hands and leads the disciples to truth. And that brings us to our second point this morning. Jesus points us to himself through his word. He points us to himself through his word. Jesus begins his reply with a rebuke there in verse 25. And he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Now, one of the most common excuses that a traffic officer will receive when he or she stops someone is, "I'm sorry, officer, I didn't see the signs." Now, sometimes that will get you out of a ticket, but most of the time not. Here, these two disciples should have seen the signs. Jesus tells them, "You should have known better. You had the words of the prophets to explain to you what was going to happen." Verse 26, "Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" He doesn't just tell them off. He also guides them. He also guides them. Verse 27, "Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Oh, to be a fly on the wall of that conversation. What a wonderful conversation that would have been, listening as Jesus took these two disciples through the whole Old Testament. Now, we wouldn't have read the whole Old Testament to them. They didn't have time in that short time they were walking together. And we don't know exactly what Jesus said to these two, but we can guess the highlights. Genesis chapter 3, pointing already back then to the need for a Savior. The promise of Abraham and a family that would come from him that would spread throughout the whole world. Moses as mediator. The tabernacle, the temple, the Old Testament sacrifices. Every single sacrifice that pointed, Jesus said to himself or to Jesus. King David. A man after God's own heart, but yet not the king. Just a sign of the king that was coming. I am sure he would have taken those two disciples to Isaiah 53, the suffering servant who must die, but who died to pay for the sins of those whom he had chosen. The book of Micah, how Jesus would come from the tribe of would come from Bethlehem. In some ways, that would have been the greatest Sunday school lesson ever, wouldn't it? But Jesus' point to these two: look to the signs. Remember the promises. See how the entire Old Testament points to me. We need that reminder. Sometimes we can say, well, we're New Testament church. We just need to have our New Testaments. But yet Jesus says the entire Old Testament is rich and full and points to me. Right from the beginning, Jesus Christ on every page, from the beginning of the Garden of Eden. And as you read your Old Testaments, look for him, seek him, find him. And it means too that the promises of the Old Testament are promises to us. The promise of a Savior is our Savior. The promise of a true King is our King. The promise of Abraham is our promise as God's people. And so as we study our Bibles, we should be looking for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We shouldn't just be satisfied to read them and put them away and leave it at that. We should always come to the Bible, to the Scriptures, seeking to encounter our Lord. Does that mean every branch, every leaf, every object in the Old Testament points to Jesus? No. But as we see and look at the characters in the Old Testament, we can see their sin and their need for a Savior, reminding us of our sin and need for a Savior. As we see God's grace time and time again to the people of Israel, to those who didn't deserve grace, just like us, we can be reminded of the grace we need in Jesus Christ. And that's something we should be looking at as we come to God's word and as we hear God's word preached to us. Spurgeon was once asked what he would say to a pastor who preached a sermon that didn't include Jesus, that didn't speak of the gospel. And Spurgeon, in the way that he only can, said, "I would go up to that pastor and say, Sir, they have taken away the body of my Lord, and I know not where he is." Brothers and sisters, you should always demand that I preach Christ to you. You should demand that of every pastor you hear. And if you don't, you should go and ask him why not. All of Scripture, the Old Testament, the New Testament, points to Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, all of the promises are yes and amen. Jesus spoke to the two disciples, pointing to himself through his word. He came alongside these two disciples just where they needed and showed them what they needed. But in our third and final point, we see the result. Our third point is hearts set on fire. They encourage Jesus to come in and stay with them. He comes in. Verse 30, we read this: "When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them." As he did that, something happened. It's not clear exactly what it was that opened the eyes of these two disciples. Was it the breaking of the bread? Was it the particular blessing that he gave as the bread was broken? Maybe, and I hadn't thought of this, maybe it was that they saw the hands of Jesus as he offered the bread to them. They saw the wounds in his hands. But we do know the effect. The reverse of verse 16, their eyes kept from recognizing him. In verse 31, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Imagine sitting there at that moment. Imagine being one of those two disciples, sad, struggling,
Lord has risen. His promises have come true. Here he is now. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Jesus immediately vanishes. His work is done, and the two disciples are left back with their thoughts. And now things are different. They look back over what Jesus said. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Now, you could read this and say that the two of them said to each other, well, how dumb were we? Jesus has been walking with us for a couple of hours, and we didn't recognize him? But that's not what they're saying here. They say to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? They recognize that as Jesus explained the scriptures, a fire was arising in their hearts. They recognize the surety of knowing who Jesus was, the joy, the blessing of Jesus' words working in their hearts. And that explanation, that being reunited with their Lord, inspired them, stimulated, removed their sadness. Jesus has risen. God's word explained. Jesus explaining his word to them lit a fire in their hearts. And brothers and sisters, as we come to God's word now here in 2021, we should come with expectation also. Think back to your childhood and the days of Sesame Street. When you were watching Sesame Street, there was always two letters and a number. That was a theme for Sesame Street. And they would advertise those numbers and letter, those two letters and a number before you watched the program. Boys and girls, if you don't know what I'm talking about, ask your parents. And as you were watching Sesame Street, you were looking for those letters. You were looking for the count to stop on that number. You watched the program expectant of what was going to happen. And as the program finished and says, today has been brought to you by the letter A, the letter D, and the number 5, you said, yes, I saw that as we were going through. Do we come to God's word with the same sort of expectation? Do we come to his word looking, expecting to meet with Jesus Christ? Do we come to church ready, expectant, excited, looking to learn something about him? Do we believe God's promise in Isaiah 55 verse 11, my word will not return to me without achieving the purpose for which I sent it? Do we believe that? A couple of weeks ago, as a family, we were going out somewhere and our children didn't think that it was going to be much fun. We could tell that on their faces, and as they were going out, we could tell that they were just looking dour or sour or both. And I said to them, if we go out now and you think this is going to be boring, which is a word I hear from time to time, if you think this isn't going to be any fun, you're going to be exactly right. It's going to be true. But if you go out with us and think, this is actually might be okay, this is going to be fun, and you go out with a sense of expectation, you will also be right. Do we come to God's word with an expectation that he is going to speak to us, that he's going to feed us, that he's going to nourish us, that he's going to increase our passion for him? Is that how we come to his word? Now, you may be thinking here this morning, I wish I had that desire. I wish I had that fire in my heart. I wish I had that hunger and thirst. If that is you, I sympathize this morning.
And I can only encourage you, have you come before him and asked him? Are you continuing to spend time in his word? Yes, sometimes it is hard work. Often it's hard work. But as you come to his word, as you stick at it, slowly but slowly, the word of God will warm your heart. If you starve yourself, if you have a quick flick through God's word, if you tick off the chapters on your Bible plan and then walk away and forget about what you've read, your heart isn't going to warm. Jesus used his word to warm, to set a fire, to make the hearts of those who listened to him on that road to Emmaus burn with passion for him. So much so as they responded that they made that 11 kilometer journey back in the dark. They ran back to the disciples. And this journey was no easy journey. It was at night. It was dangerous. They risked being taken away by robbers or kidnapped. It was a dangerous journey to make at night. But yet they went. They couldn't keep this news to themselves. Their Lord had risen. They come back and spread the news. The women were right. And they were told as they came, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon. Brothers and sisters, friends, I want that passion. I want the passion that comes from knowing our risen Lord, knowing that he died for me, that he was raised from the grave for me. I hope, I pray that you desire that too this morning. As you open his word, as you hear God's word, as you walk the Christian life applying his word, know that you are never alone. That Christ meets you where you need and knows what you need and promises to walk with you every step of the way, even when you think he's not there. And he calls us, like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, to take that passion and bear witness for him. To say, here I am, Lord, send me to be your witness. And now this morning, as we see the bread broken before our eyes, let's open our eyes to see our Lord and Savior, to be reminded of his sacrifice for us, his resurrection for us, his blessing for us. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for our risen Savior. We thank you for the hope that we have because of Jesus Christ. Lord, we confess this morning that so often our hearts are cold. Kindle in us anew. Lighten us this morning anew, a flame for you. Make our hearts burn with love for you. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, for taking your Son for granted. Forgive us for not being hungry for you. Lord, we praise you that you know our struggles, that you know what's in our hearts, you know the struggles that we face. We thank you that we have your Holy Spirit to walk with us every step of the way. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, to look for your Son, Jesus Christ, and be encouraged by that,
And yes, challenged where we need to be challenged. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning, set our hearts on fire. Give us a desire for you. Give us a passion in our hearts that overflows so that we will tell others about the joy, the blessing, the hope that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, fill our hearts. Set our hearts on fire so that we cannot keep silent, but simply must proclaim you. Lord, if that is not our hearts at the moment, meet us in our need, we pray. Help us, if we're struggling to spend time in your word, to open your word. Help us to bring that before you and answer our prayers there, Lord. Set our hearts on fire as we encounter you in your word. We thank you for the promises in your word and the wonderful truth that we celebrate this morning, that our Saviour has risen. Sin has been conquered. Death has been conquered. Praise your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand now and sing praise to our Saviour. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son, as we prepare to celebrate together around the table.